Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith and how the two come together in lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern. Alongside this week's co-host, he is Nate Amack. Nate, it's good to see you, sir. How are you?
Good to see you, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm doing really good. Hey, I'm really excited about today's show, and I'm really happy you were available to come in. Our special guest for the entire hour, head football coach at Liberty University, former quarterback at Nebraska, he is Coach Turner Gill. Coach, how are you today?
Oh, just a blessing each and every day.
Coach, the reason I have Nate Amack as my special co-host this week, Pastor Ken Keltner is out of town, but I'm a sales guy here at the radio stations, and Nate is in the insurance game, and I pitched him on an advertising package a number of years ago, and he came into the studio, and he came into my office, and he had a Nebraska football flag. And he said, look, I'll sign that contract, but you have to put this up in your cubicle. Oh. And I said, are you kidding me? He goes, no. And if I ever come in and you have taken that down, I'm going to cancel all my advertising.
Wow.
So, Nate, Nate grew up in Nebraska, big Nebraska football fan. Nate, where'd you grow up?
I was in Lincoln.
Right in Lincoln.
Yeah.
Wearing red all the time.
Every Saturday, baby, I had a paper route, so every Saturday morning I'm up and I'm... Got it all done before the game, and or if it was an afternoon, had to hustle out and get back before the game started.
Hey, Turner, when I called Nate a couple days ago and I said, Nate, what are you doing Wednesday around noon? He was hemming and hawing. Oh, I'm kind of busy. I'm not quite sure. I got to check my. I said, because I want you to be my co-host on Faith in the Zone. We've got Coach Turner Gill. Oh, I'm wide open. I got nothing. I am completely wide open. Hey, Coach, let's start with your background. Where did you grow up, and how did you end up at Nebraska?
Well, I grew up in Fort Worth, Texas. Was blessed to have a mom and dad there, married there over 57 years there, and all that. My mom was definitely the cornerstone when it came to biblical matters and spirituality. My dad was a hard worker, worked so many jobs. He was always gone all the time, and he wasn't necessarily involved with the church as we grew up. But later on, I have to say that he did accept Jesus Christ as personal Lord and Savior. My dad is still living today. Unfortunately, my mother has passed away, but also fortunate that she is absolutely with Jesus Christ right now. So I have two sisters, and they're still around there. And one of them is in the Fort Worth, Dallas area, and the other one's in Kansas City.
How did a guy like you get to Nebraska? How'd they let you out of that state of Texas?
Part of it was, you know, I think it's God's blessing. God touched me in a way to say that, and along with my parents, we don't mind you exploring things outside of the box. And so they were open to me to at least to explore things. Really, pretty much most schools I was looking at were out of state. Had really Nebraska and Oklahoma were the two main schools, and I was actually a baseball player, so I was really excited about Mary Arizona State to play baseball there, too. They were pretty powerful at that point in time. And so, you know, took those visits, and to really sum it up real quick, the one person who really did it is really Tom Osborne, Dr. Tom Osborne. Mm-hmm. He came with his wife, came in and brought her to our home. They had a event in Fort Worth, Dallas, Fort Worth area, and he happened to bring her on over, too. I don't know, that meant a lot, special to me, he didn't have to bring his wife along with it to meet my parents. And so his personality, his beliefs, and all the things that he had in store we were really a fit. I wanted him to be the person that's going to help me become a better man first and then be a better quarterback at that point in time.
Nate, that doesn't surprise you at all.
Not in the least. I mean, you hear stories of Coach Osborne's legacy with that and the lives that he touched and other guys that came in under him, Coach Ron Brown and others that, and of course, Coach Gill, and just what a legacy that's been and the impact that those men have in the lives and really being able to invest in them beyond the game, beyond the field, help them become better men and secure their faith.
You know, Turner, we've had a number of Pittsburgh Steelers, former Pittsburgh Steelers on Faith in the Zone. And it seems like, in fact, the last guy that we had on, I said, it just seems like there's a lot of former Pittsburgh Steelers that are willing to get up on the mountaintop and come on a show like this to talk about their faith and how it's affected their lives professionally and personally. And he said, look, it starts with Chuck Knoll. He made it so comfortable for us because he was such a strong Christian that we could be who we were in that locker room and on the field and in meetings, and nobody was ashamed or afraid to call themselves a Christian. And it sounds like Tom Osborne had the same impact on that Nebraska program.
Well, yeah, he led by his walk for the way he did things. I guess the biggest thing that I even still carry with me today is he showed how he valued everyone. Just everyone involved on the football team, people who were the starters, the people who were, if you want to say, on the scout team. He talked to them and let them know how they were valued. I mean, he also shared that with the players and the staff to say why everyone is important, why everybody's involved in the Nebraska football program. The people who are involved with the equipment, the people that are involved with doing all the copying machines and papers and books and playbooks and all that, they are just as valued as I am. And, again, I saw that in action. I got to see it as a player. I got to see it as an assistant coach working with him. And I got to see him now as I continue to dialogue with him every day of his life, how he values people. And that's what we're all here to do. God has placed each and every one of us here is to serve, just like Jesus Christ served for us.
Amen to that. We had Tony Dungy on a long time ago, one of the guys I work with. He worked as an equipment guy for the Indianapolis Colts, and he said, look, I don't know if Coach Dungy would remember me, but he made a point to at least once a week come down into the area where we worked to say thank you to us. He said, I'd never seen anything like it. And so when we had Coach Dungy on, I said, hey, there's a guy here, and here's his name. And he said, I remember him. You tell him I said hello, and you tell him that I said thank you for the hard work that he did when I was with the Colts. And so kind of similar to what you're saying, I mean, these are the kind of guys that, like you said, value everybody within the organization. And I think sometimes that's hard to do. I've been a basketball coach for 36 years. And there are times that you start to forget maybe about the kid that is taking the film and the girl that's getting the water. And sometimes it's hard to set time aside to just go over there and say, hey, thank you so much. And just to remember to do that. And I think that's a great story, certainly about him. We are talking to Turner Gill. He is the former quarterback at Nebraska, current head football coach at Liberty University. Hey, Coach, when after your college days and you played professional and then you played some baseball, did you know at that point that coaching football was something that was going to be your journey and your path?
Well, after God laid on my heart that it was time to move on to something else when I was playing baseball, I really had to make a decision and just prayed about it, and my passion was more with football than it was with baseball as far as possibly getting in any aspect of the organization of football or baseball, and I just felt baseball was not quite the same thing that I wanted to have a lifelong journey in. And so Tom Osborne talked with him, and he said, Turner, I think you may have something here in the future as a coach. Why don't you come on in and hang out with us in spring football practice, see if you like it, and kind of go from there. And and it kind of took off from there, to be honest with you. And at that point in time, I ended up going to the University of North Texas to finish my degree, and that's where I finished my degree. And then Tom Osborne gave me a call, and I was a graduate assistant at that time, and kind of took off at that point in time. That gave me an opportunity to start my profession. It's great that I had an opportunity to not only play for him but coach with him, so I got to see all the other insight things that I did not see as a player.
Nate, when we were talking about Turner Gill, and you talked a lot about him on the football field, you never told me that he was a second-round pick to the Chicago White Sox at the age of 17.
He was a stud baseball player, too. But
man, for a shortstop, you could pick it and throw a little bit, Coach?
Well, I call it picking and grinning, you know, a little
there
bit. But hey, I enjoyed it. That's, I guess, growing up in high school and probably in the elementary and all that, baseball was my first love. But, man, once I got a taste of the college football, I wanted to be able to have that environment. College football is just such a – I don't know, it's just a special situation to be in when you have an opportunity to play on Saturday. And I love that, and I think that's why I'm still in the profession today.
Coach, when you look back at your days in Nebraska, and Nate, I would ask you the same question, and I bet you guys have the same answer. Who was the team that you circled on the schedule? Who was the team that you right away when the schedule came out wanted to know when you played them?
Well, it was kind of easy.
Oklahoma.
We always knew we were going to play them right around Thanksgiving there. That's Oklahoma.
So, there you go.
being from Texas and all that, and really came down to those two schools as far as where I was going to go attend. So there's no question about it that the other red, I'm going to call them.
Yeah, Nate, you remember those days when Oklahoma would come to Nebraska?
Oh, it was epic. I mean, the whole family looked forward to it. I mean, it was a red-letter day across the state and some of the most exciting games. And, boy, we loved Turner Gill, man, because he was a legend against Oklahoma. I mean, he brought the wood when he played him, baby. We were loving it.
Coach, did you have you know, I like I said, I coached high school basketball. I do now, and I see these kids – and at an early age, freshmen, sophomores, sometimes juniors, where when the game gets, the lights get a little bit brighter, the crowd is bigger, you know, they play a little bit different, a little bit tight in the beginning, and then, you know, once the game gets going, you kind of get them back to where they have been. How did you feel prior to a game at home against Oklahoma?
Oh, just exciting and ready to go. I said, bring it on. You know, this is the moment you dream for. It says, I'm ready for it. And I just kind of encourage our teammates along the way and say, we got Jesus, so let's go and let's do what we're supposed to do.
Man, that's awesome. Guys, let's get to a break. Other side of the break, we're going to ask Turner Gill for his testimony, and we'll ask a little bit about his journey and his walk. He's now the head football coach at Liberty University. You can follow him Twitter at Liberty T. Gill if you want to follow him on Twitter. He's got some great posts that I would highly recommend. You start to follow him. It's really interesting. Again, we are joined the entire hour. Former quarterback at Nebraska, current head football coach at Liberty University. He is Turner Gill. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone. Discovering people of sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern. Alongside my co-host this week, he is Nate Amack. Our special guest, the former quarterback at Nebraska, current head football coach at Liberty University, Turner Gill. Nate, before we ask Coach Gill for his testimony, you had talked about a time that Coach Gill came to the church that you were at.
Yeah, you know, Coach, I don't know if you've done so many of these appearances, I'm confident, but in the early 90s, I believe you were the quarterback coach back in Nebraska, and I went to a little church, Indian Hills Community Church, off of 84th Street there in Lincoln. I was in a group called Boys Brigade, and you came and spoke to us, and I don't have a ton of childhood memories, but let me tell you, that has been burned into my memory, and what you talked about with your faith and living it out on the field and honoring God and everything that you do, and that it's not just a segmented part of your life, but it's every day. And whatever platform that God gives you is to use it to magnify Him. And all these years later, that has stuck with me. And I wanted to just let you know that you have impact on people. And I know you know this, but you have impact on people that you've never even met. And you won't realize till you get to glory and you see the impact there. But I just wanted to thank you for taking that time. I know you're busy or we're busy at the time, but just what a blessing that's been to me even all these years later.
Well, to God be the glory. I definitely remember Indian Hills Church there. I know exactly where you're talking about.
And, you know, they think about that, Nate. How old were you then, do you think?
Oh, I would have been 13, 14.
Man, Coach Gill, think of that. You have kids.
No telling how old I am.
Yeah. I'm not going there, and I'm certainly not going how old I was back then. But, boy, I'll tell you what, as coaches and as guys, we have an impact on kids, and certainly not me coaching high school at the level that you have, but he was 14 years old. He's a grown man with kids that age now, and he remembers when we talked about this, he gave me quotes. He said, look, this is what he talked about. And I know exactly where I was when he said this. And then my buddies and I, we talked about when he left. Can you imagine? He said this and he said that. It's sometimes amazing to me the impact that you know, we can have if we utilize the platform that the Lord's given us.
Well, amen to the Holy Spirit. That's all I can say to that part of it. The Holy Spirit is, you know, when the Holy Spirit is live and with us, as we always know it's there, but us acknowledging it, then we can receive things a lot better way, and even the person speaking can put it in the right way so they can understand it.
Coach, have you always been comfortable going out and sharing your faith?
No, not at all. I mean, I would still say that I'm really an introvert. I never really wanted to speak in front of people growing up, even in college. I know you had to do it, but it's still, even today, I wouldn't raise my hand up to a certain extent to say, yes, I'm fired up and ready to go do some talking. But again, I do it because God has called me to do that. And so that's what comforts me to be able to do it.
Hey, Turner, you'll love this. We had Don Beebe on a while back, and we've told this story on the show, but I know you haven't heard it. He was rooming with Frank Reich, and he was with the Bills, and Frank said, hey, I'm going to speak at this youth group at a church, and they asked if you would come with me and speak as well. And Don said, absolutely not. I don't do that. I'm not comfortable public speaking, and thanks for the offer, but absolutely not. And Frank said, well, you think this is about you, right? And he said, excuse me? He said, this isn't about you. This is about Jesus Christ. So get your coat. You're coming with me. And Don Beebe said, I've never said no since, because I thought he's right. I thought it was about me and how uncomfortable I was. But it really was not about me. So, hey, Coach, if we could ask you for your testimony, just kind of where you were and age-wise and how the Lord has brought you to him.
Well, yeah, I was definitely, unfortunately, it wasn't actually when I was there at Nebraska, but I got a verse I'd like to share with that kind of real quickly. We'll kind of summarize it all up in Revelation 3:20. As it says, listen, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and have dine with him and he with me. Again, as we all know in life, you know, Jesus is always knocking on the door, but we don't listen and we don't hear him. Or sometimes we just hear him and we don't listen. Well, all through Nebraska, obviously Coach Osborne, I heard the gospel. My mom, I knew the gospel. I went to church. I did all those things. I heard those, you know, things about what you do to accept Christ, but I ignored it. I didn't want it. I didn't need it. I had a situation there when I went to Nebraska. I got hurt in my sophomore year. I had a leg injury, and I remember the doctor speaking to me, and Dr. Clary said, turn, the only way you're going to get healed is by prayer. When Jesus was knocking at the door, see, I still had a hard head. Again, I wouldn't let Jesus in. I closed the door. Jesus gave me grace. He allowed me to play football again, and things happened and continued to happen to me in a good way. Then I ended up, you know, going to play professional football. And then I came across another young man that played college football with me at Nebraska. I've always admired the way he went about his life. And at that time, I said, man, I've been blessed. I've had the fame. I've had some money. I've had the exposure and all those type of things, but I don't have peace. I don't have any peace whatsoever. I'm still trying to find some things that's going to give me this true peace and the satisfaction that I believe that I should have. So I sit down and talk with Todd Brown, receiver there with me at Nebraska. Now, he was the receiver with me at Montreal. And I said, Todd, I've admired you from afar, man, and I appreciate you the way you live your life. You didn't force this Jesus thing on me, but right now I need to ask you, Jesus is knocking on the door right now. I need to ask this question. What is so unique about the way you have this joy about you? You're not saying things, but I see the joy in you, the way you walk, the way you talk. You have injuries. You've had different things, and that's where he shared the gospel with me. He said, Turner, the only way you're going to have peace and joy and fulfillment here, more importantly, after this earthly thing, you're still going to have some ups and downs on here on earth, but on the forest in heaven, that's what you're going to have is peace. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that he died on the cross for your blood and your shed, that he shed for you, and that he will bury it. He rose again and paid the sins for you. And you have to repent all the things that you have had that have been disgraceful to God. And once you have done that and you accept him now as your personal Lord and Savior, you're going to have joy. You're going to have peace. You're going to have fulfillment. You're going to have a purposeful life. So from that day on, I knock that door down. I bust that thing down. And I know for sure now, no matter what happens in my life, that I'm in heaven because Jesus Christ paid the price for me on my sins, just like he's done it for everyone else. So that's where I've accepted Christ. As he said in John 14:6, says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, amen to that. I tell you, and Pastor Ken always says it, but we love to hear the stories of everybody's testimony. They never get old. They just never get old. I don't know Todd Brown. I know, Nate, you were shaking your head. You certainly know Todd Brown or of him. And I thank him for his willingness to sit with you and to open the Bible and say, let me tell you exactly why I have this peace. Coach, we've had so many guys on this show that have said, hey, look, I had everything. I had Pastor Daryl Strawberry. Well, I had all the money, all the girls, all the houses, all the cars. People said I was one of the best baseball players ever to play, and I wasn't happy. I thought I had everything I ever wanted, and I got it all, and I was just depressed all the time. And not until I realized why and, you know, turned my life over, that's the first time in my life that I felt true happiness. And similar to you, you know, you didn't have that peace. And here's Todd Brown, who's, you know, just he probably prayed for you a long time for you to Absolutely. Come to him. Now you walk up and open the door for him, and the fact that he was willing to step through and work with you. Do you remember him as a player, Nate?
I can't remember specific plays, but yeah. I absolutely knew he was part of the rosters back in the day. And boy,
yeah,
what
yeah.
a
So I accept the Christ yeah, in December of 1985. That's when I accepted Christ. So he would play with me from 80 to 82. He was 1 year older than me. So he was there from 79 to 82, played for Nebraska, and then we played together in Montreal. So, matter of fact, here's a great story and a blessing how God continued to work. I coached both of his sons.
Oh, man. That's
awesome. His older son played for me at Kansas. His younger son, Isaac, just played for me here at Liberty University.
Oh, that's awesome. That both receivers?
Both were receivers.
Man, apple doesn't fall far from the tree, does it? Hey, Coach, before we get to a break, and I really appreciate, you know, you sharing your testimony with us and the fact that Todd Brown was able to do that. I ask guys this, and as a coach, I don't know if this will make sense, but for players, do you think it's easier to walk worthy in the locker room or outside of the locker room? And the reason for the question, we've had guys on that said, look, when I'm in the locker room, I'm kind of by myself or I've got one other guy with me. When I leave the locker room, my whole circle of friends are all guys that'll get up on the mountaintop and strong Christians. And the reverse, we've had guys that said, look, in the locker room, people have kept me accountable. It's when I'm outside of the locker room where I've struggled in my personal walk. And I'm wondering your feeling on that.
I think it's an individual basis. You know, I guess for me, as again, I wasn't a believer when I was playing, but as a coach and being around all the different people and how they've accepted Christ. I think most of them that I've talked to and been involved in, it may be a little bit tougher inside the locker room in front of their peers because they get, they get tempted. And they still kind of want to be with the group in some cases. So, again, when you're a believer, you get tested even stronger and more. You know, the enemy knows your weaknesses, so it gets attacked. So, again, I ain't going to say it's 100%, but I would say in most cases, maybe inside the locker room because, I mean, they're watching you, and then when you mess up, they tell you about it.
Yeah, so you
bet. It's not about messing up. You're going to fail. God has said you're going to sin. But it's more about how you correct that, and it doesn't happen over and over again, and you ask for repentance. So that's my thoughts on it.
Excellent. We're talking to Turner Gill. We get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue our conversation. He coached 1 year in Green Bay. We're going to ask him if he misses the winners up here. We'll do that on the other side of the break. Again, our special guest, former quarterback at Nebraska, current head football coach at Liberty University. They're about a week away from kickoff. And we'll talk to him about this year's team. I see they have one Wisconsin kid on that roster. We'll ask him about that young man as well. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Accurate Basement Repair. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, alongside my co-host this week. He is Nebraska-born, Nate Amack. Man, Cornhuskers all the way through, I'm telling you. Do you still fly that flag at your house?
I do. Somebody stole it one time, but I pulled my spare out and had it up within, I don't think it was gone for a half hour.
Did you guys still meet? Do you have a group of Nebraska fans up here together?
We do.
Go to the
Badger? They meet downtown. They watch every game downtown together, and then,
you could become a cheesehead. It's okay.
Hey,
no worries.
When there's a Husker player on the team, I blue, green, and gold.
I will get you a Badger hat. Just, see how that fits and get it to.
That's not insane.
No, not at all. Our special guest, and boy, he's been great. Again, former quarterback at Nebraska, current head football coach at Liberty University. He is Turner Gill. Hey, Turner, you had a chance to coach, I think, 1 year up in Green Bay. What was that like for you?
Great experience. I was kind of a dual role. I was the assistant receivers coach, and then I was a director there as far as player personnel, as far as a director of helping them to finish up their degrees and, in player development. So I loved it. I was actually there the first year when Aaron Rodgers got drafted. So I got to be there for 1 year with him and Brett Favre and all that. But the winters were a little rough around the edges, but I've been there and done that. So just put on a few more clothes and go get them.
Hey, was the city of Green Bay, did it remind you of Lincoln at all? Or?
Yeah, it was Lincoln. I can see that. No question about that. Everything shuts down there on game day, and it's just a great excitement. Everybody's all for the one team there, Green Bay Packers, and love them in every way.
Hey, got it. Doing some research for the show, I read an article called Turner Gill at Liberty, Studied by Faith. It was Baptist Press. I wrote it and read the article, and I wanted to talk about one of the quotes. It says this: less than 3 weeks later, Gill landed at Liberty, which attracted his interest, he said, because there's no question about the vision, the Christian values, training champions for Christ, the school's longtime tagline. I think that says it all. As I look back at all the things God has placed me in, there's no doubt he placed me right here at the right time in my life. And I thought that was a great quote. What a perfect spot for a man that is as strong as his faith as you are. Liberty University it wasn't known as a big sports thing 20 years ago, but now you look at some of the things you're doing in football and baseball does well in basketball. It's a school that it's the largest Christian university in the world, and I think that you guys are utilizing athletics to spread the word. And I'm just really excited about what you guys are doing. With this said, with that quote, that there's just no question about the vision at Liberty, you guys do not shy away from who you are.
Absolutely not. That's what God has called us to do. You know, he says that we are to go out and teach the word basically to everyone. It says all the nations. That means to everyone. And so you need to speak the truth. You need to share the Jesus Christ story. That's what we're here on this earth for. That's really all we're on the earth to do, is really to share the gospel, share the story about Jesus. If we feel held to do that as human beings, that's on us.
Coach, when you go out and recruit, people that you recruit obviously know who you are and what Liberty University is all about. And so when you sit in somebody's kitchen or in their living room, I would assume that that's the first thing that comes up, that, look, this is who we are. And I know that you guys don't only recruit guys that are really strong Christians. There are some players that, you know, once they get on campus, you guys are hoping that they start to kind of walk worthy and learn more about their faith. But is that a good selling tool for you?
Well, no question about that. Again, we definitely teach and talk about the faith base that we have. But again, like you mentioned, we definitely want people who have accepted Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and we all want people who are lost. You know, we just, God has not called us, Jesus hasn't called us just to come around and we just sit around everybody else who has accepted Christ. We do that, but we got to go out there and bring people in here and share the gospel with them, let the Holy Spirit take care of the rest. And so there is definitely people interested. I think there's probably more of the parents in most cases. They're a little bit more excited about that. Sometimes there's players that they're still wondering. Again, like I've been there before. Again, around my mom was strong in it, and maybe I did not want to be totally involved in it. But again, we let the Holy Spirit tell, like we say, pray about it. And if God inspires you to come to Liberty University, then that's what you need to do.
You guys, and looking at your roster, obviously you recruit very well right in your area, and I saw some Florida guys, some Southern guys. The Midwest, there was a Minnesota kid and there was a Wisconsin kid. Do you guys, is the kids in this area, if they have interest and if they're at that level to be able to play at Liberty, do you normally hear from them rather than, because I don't think you have the recruiting budget that you can send guys to high school football games in Wisconsin, right?
Correct. Correct. No, it'll be very, very selective as far as we go outside of the East Coast and heading into the Midwest and the West Coast. Now, we'll go anywhere, definitely, to go recruit someone. What we going to be good stewards of our financial situation. And, again, when people may write us or we may end up talking to someone that has a connection, then we'll definitely explore those options as far as that goes. So we got Michael Corwitz has come here and from Wisconsin and receiver. The guys that came on as a walk-on, and he's done a good job, only a redshirt freshman this year and his second year this year. And so we look forward to him continuing to develop and be instrumental not only on the football field but also instrumental in his walk with Christ.
Mm-hmm. Coach, you guys, looking at your schedule, you guys open up you guys are at Baylor, correct?
Correct.
Saturday night. So this is going to air on the 3rd, and we're taping this a little bit early. So when this airs, we're going to know how that went. Yeah. Boy, that's a tough opener right there, Coach.
Well, absolutely. Well, you know, as we all know, in God's way, he doesn't give you anything he can't handle.
No.
So that's how I kind of tell my players. I say, hey, we know we can handle this. Now, what the results are, none of us know that answer. Not Jesus knows. But we go out, and our job is to go out and do the best you can. So, again, Baylor's a Christian university, and so it's great to have two Christian faith-based universities playing against each other. And, again, we just go out and do the best you can and see what God has planned for us.
Coach, those days where you were at Buffalo and then at Kansas had to be, especially the Kansas one, had to be something that was you had to be strong in your faith to get through that. I know that Kansas being a basketball school, I think it's always difficult to try to do as well as you can in football. But if like a place like Indiana is a basketball school, Kansas is a basketball school. And it's hard, I think, sometimes to get people excited about the football program. Was that a tough couple of years for you? And how much did you rely on your faith during that time?
Well, really, I was no different in Kansas than where I ever been before. I continued to share the gospel, continued to share the faith, continued to share the word to our student athletes, to our staff, and continue to do what you need to do. Again, the things that we don't understand, it's not all about wins and losses from a godly perspective. And so I ought to do the best I could from a one-loss record. Maybe it wasn't what the world looked at, but I enjoyed the experience. I learned a lot. I met a lot of great people. There was people who accepted Christ through those times. And so as I say it, or anywhere we go, God's placed you at a certain time. And whenever there's a time for you to move on, God is just saying, your work is done here. You've done what I've called you to do. So that's how I always look in that perspective. When God changes and has me to go somewhere else, he's just saying, your work is done at XYZ place.
We're talking to Turner Gill, former Nebraska quarterback, head football coach at Liberty University. Nate?
You know, Coach, I love hearing you say that when it's time to move on, that it's God moving you on. You know, Paul said the same thing when he was in prison. He said, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He didn't give the credit for his condition to the Romans. He didn't say that Rome has me imprisoned here. He kept the focus of what he was doing and why, and that God himself allowed Paul to be in prison. And we see the impact that Paul had in that prison time. Not to equate prison with those 10 years there, but God will give us those specific difficult situations, not so much that we succeed, but that we succeed eternally and spiritually to accomplish things that we won't even realize until we're in glory with him. So well done with that.
Growing. He's molded all of us through all the good things, that prosperity that happens and the adversity that happens. Because there is something about how do you handle prosperity. You know, I know everybody talks about how you handle adversity, but man, it's about how you handle prosperity. Sometimes you need to know how to handle that in the right way, and God may need to have you go through some of those things at that time to get you closer to him.
Amen.
You know, last question before we get to a break, Coach. I was talking to Coach, a number of coaches have been on the show, and I've asked them a similar question. These players that are on your roster almost become almost stepsons to what you guys are doing. As their head coach and you spend a lot of time with them, how difficult is it for you when one of your players kind of goes off the rails a little bit or does something that he shouldn't be doing? I know as a high school coach, it used to affect me a lot more, and now I just go right to the source, and we walk through it and talk through it. But it used to affect me a lot. Like, I used to think, boy, am I not doing a good enough job trying to mold this young man into being a better kid? And I'm wondering at your level if you feel the same kind of, you know, just how hard it is when one of your players does something they shouldn't be doing.
Well, I see them as my sons, and I talk to them about it almost every day. I say that you are my son. I tell the parents that when they decide they're going to come here and be a part of the university I'm coaching at, is I'm going to treat him like he's my son. And therefore, the things that happen in a great way, I'm going to continue to love him and teach him. And there's things that maybe doesn't do in an appropriate way, we're going to attack the behavior. I'm not going to attack the person. We're going to continue to teach him. There comes a time where there's so many opportunities that come, and are you going in the right way? I can still love a person. I can still pray for him. I can still love him, even if I have to remove someone from this program. So I always tell them that. Again, they may not understand it at that point in time, but continue to pray for you and to continue to help that person to learn. Because we always talk about you got to learn and press on toward the goal. You got to learn about the things that you've experienced and change the behavior. And only you can do that. But you first of all got to get a relationship with Christ. If you don't get a relationship with Christ, then it's going to be a little tougher to really truly understand the behaviors that you need to do in order for you to fulfill your true purpose according to God's plan. So again, I know I feel that tough thing there, tough love, whatever you want to call it, but Christ has called us that we need to discipline people in the right way so that they can do things in the proper way according to God.
Nate, you got any eligibility left?
I'll scrap it together. I'll go play for him.
Yeah, if you had any eligibility left, you would say, look, I'll go play for this
right
man.
Right now, baby.
Right now. Yeah. Man, Coach, that's awesome. We're going to get to a break. We've got a very short fourth segment. I'm going to ask Coach Gill, who do you think is one of the best player he ever played with at Nebraska? I want you to write that down. We'll ask Turner Gill on the other side of the break. I want to see if these guys have the same guy. Again, our special guest, former quarterback at Nebraska, current head football coach at Liberty University. You can follow him on Twitter, at Liberty T. Gill, and I would recommend that you do that. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here's host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All this time, you covered me.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan. Mike McGivern ready to sing the Wisconsin Badger fight song with my co-host, Nate Amack.
Try it.
Our special guest. Okay, man, he's a good one. And I'm telling you, if you've got a Division I high school football son or nephew that has listened to this and you want to make Coach Gill aware of your this player, and if he's a kid that fits in with what Coach Gill has been talking about, I would highly recommend go to Liberty University's website, go to their football landing page of their website, and there's a place that you can contact about recruiting. There's information on that website, and he certainly will take – he's got one player from Wisconsin, and he wants Liberty to get a little tougher, so he needs more of these Wisconsin boys to come up and play at Liberty University. Hey, Coach, we went to a break. I was going to ask you who you think the best player that you played with at Nebraska, and I'm just wondering, is it somebody that Nate may get, or is it somebody off the grid that we don't know so much about?
No, I think he would get it. You said a player that I played with.
Yes. Yep.
Well, I would have to go with Mike Rozier. The best player that I played with. We had a lot of talented players. I was thinking him or Dave Remington were probably my two guys I had on my list. But I would go with Mike Rozier. He was tough. He played through pain. Played every one game. He played with broken ribs and still ran for about 200 yards. And he was a guy who gave people water on the sidelines after he would run. And the offensive guys, the defensive guys had great movement, great speed. And it was an all-around back. He'll block. He'll block him. And he also could catch the football. So Mike Rozier.
Yeah, that's exactly who Nate wrote down, Rozier. And I'm wondering, Coach, did you know was he the same age as you? Did same grade?
Yeah, we're in the same class. We came in together and finished in the same year in 83 was our last season, so we played together. Yep.
Did you know him prior to getting on campus?
No. He was from New Jersey, and we all met together. Him, Irving Fryer, and all together there, we were in the same classification. Irving Fryer, he was the number one pick in the draft that year.
Yeah,
and make no mistake, that year. Turner Gill came in third or fourth in the Heisman voting behind Mike Rozier when he won it that year. So, Coach Gill is no slouch in that equation. I mean,
if we had Mike Rozier on, he'd probably say Turner Gill. Mm. That offensive line that you guys had was incredible back then. The holes that they would open up for you and these running backs and the time that they gave you. I always love it when quarterbacks, I get to interview these high school kids, the player of the game, and I'm always impressed when it's a quarterback or a running back. And, you know, these kids, they never get a microphone stuck in their face the way I'm doing it. And I just go, hey, congratulations, great game. You know, who would you like to thank? And the guys that go, look, I want to thank my offensive line. If it wasn't for those guys, none of this would be happening. That offensive line you had there, Coach, was awfully talented.
Well, no question about that. Dean Steinkuhler that same year,
wow,
he won the
right.
Allen Trophy winner, and I think he was actually in the top 10 in votes, too. So he was the third player picked in the draft, and he went to the Houston Oilers. So we definitely had a very, very good offensive line, and we were blessed and had great coaches in Milt Tenenberg, the late Milt Tenenberg, and Dan Young, and all those guys, and Cletus Fisher. So, again, coaching staff was outstanding, and players were really passionate about the game, and we appreciate all that they did for us.
Hey, Coach, we just got about 2 minutes left, 2.5 minutes. This year's team, you open up Baylor and then Morehead State, Indiana State, and then get on the road, Jacksonville State. This year's team, you said you're feeling pretty good. You guys might have a chance to be a pretty good team. Where is it, a senior-laden team, Coach? Is it a younger team?
No, we definitely got a younger team there. We only have 10 seniors on our football team, so
wow.
We're definitely a young team, and juniors and sophomores, really sophomores and freshmen, redshirt freshman-laden, if I had to say, really the large part of our team.
Boy, that's going to be an exciting year for you guys, Coach. I have to tell you, when last question, again, before we go, your staff that you have, are these guys that have been with you for a long time? Are these guys that, do they come and go? I know in college football staffs, a lot of times guys will spend 2 years here and then head over somewhere else. Is the staff that you have a bunch of guys that have been with you for a while?
Well, yeah, I guess on this current staff I have, really on defense, the original staff is here except for one guy. They've been here for 6 years. One guy left before, and he's now the head coach of East Tennessee State, and Carl Torbush. And so he's been there for 5 years. And on my offensive side of the ball, so I got two guys have been here the whole time. I got one guy on my staff that's coached with me for 11 years.
Wow.
We got a pretty good veteran staff. I got about four out of my five on offense or have Nebraska ties that coached at Nebraska while I was there at some point in time. So they all have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. I don't know this as a fact, but I can say if we're not the only, I can say we're definitely one of the few that can stand here and say that everybody on his staff, as far as the coaching staff, have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior.
Amen
to
that.
Awesome.
Oh, amen to that. Hey, Nate, you're excited to come in, and Turner Gill does not disappoint, sir. He does not disappoint. Yeah. If your son gets to be that level, what grade is he in?
He is eighth grade, heading into his ninth grade year. Yeah.
Okay, so you know what? Three years from now,
gotta put him on a radar.
Hey, baby. Hey, baby.
You know what? If he's as tough as his dad, he might. I don't know if he'd be tough enough to play. He better be tougher than you, Nate. You've always been a big Turner Gill fan. It's funny because you asked him during a break, hey, that pass against Oklahoma that hit off the turf, and you thought about that for years.
I have. Yeah. I rewatched it last night, and I'm like, man, I just cannot. It was uncharacteristic. If it was accidental, it was uncharacteristic, and it just worked out.
Yeah, threw it behind.
But it was intentional. Doesn't shock me in the slightest.
It was intentional. Did that go for a touchdown?
No, but it was a big first down.
It was a big first down.
Yeah.
And that was unlike Tom Osborne to try a lot of trickery, right?
Yeah.
He was kind of a basic.
He had a little bag of trickeration.
Did
there,
he?
But he did. A little sneaky like that. Fumbaruski.
Yeah, he was a little subtle about it.
Yeah.
He was.
He did. He pulled out in big moments.
Man, that's awesome. Coach, thank you so much for your time. Good luck this season at Liberty University. And I know Nate's going to follow you like crazy this year now that he knows half of your staff has Nebraska ties. And I wish you certainly the best. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Coach.
Well, thank you. And we all give God the glory.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen to that, brother. Former quarterback at Nebraska, current head football coach at Liberty University, Turner Gill. Thank you, Nate Amax. Good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Coach.
You bet. This is Faith in the Zone on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip for a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people of sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Was it really amazing grace? Now I know for certain, Lord, it was you that rescued me.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.